Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Pastor Mark Neville has chosen for a sermon topic, If You Are a Child of God, based on Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue speaking responsively our intro from Psalm 91. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life I will satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High, who is my refuge,
no evil shall be allowed to befall you. For he will command his angels concerning you,
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder,
and on the lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
Guide the people of your church that, following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this first Sunday in Lent is recorded in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "Oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field.
By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin, and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We join together in the common confession of our Christian faith. We use the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are printed for us on the inside back cover of our hymnals.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We invite the children to come forward for the children's message. As they do, we sing hymn 605, Father Welcomes, stanza 1, hymn 605.
And then we're talking about it, and we realize what we did was wrong. It's kind of like if you have something that's really, really ugly, so you hide it in the dark, but then if you bring it out in the light, is the ugliness hid anymore? No, because you can see how ugly it is. Well, when we sin, we're drifting away from God. Sin distracts us just like a sheep without a shepherd. What do you think happens to a whole bunch of sheep if there's no shepherd around? What do you think? They're going to run away, right? Well, that's kind of like us. Who is our shepherd?
God.
Yeah, Jesus is our shepherd. And so how do we return to him after we sin? What do we have to do?
Pray.
Yeah, we can pray and we can ask God to forgive our sins. We can tell him we're sorry and we repent because the sheep have a shepherd and we have a shepherd too. And who is our shepherd?
God.
That's right. Jesus hears us and comes to bring us back home. And do you know what the best part of all is? God loves us. Even though we sin, he still loves us. And whenever a sinner repents, there's rejoicing in heaven. So even though we make bad choices, should we still ask for forgiveness? Because is God still going to love us no matter what? Yes, he is. Will you fold your hands and pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for always listening and forgiving our sins. Amen.
Continue with the singing of our hymn of the day. That is 424, O Christ, You Walk the Road, hymn 424. The text for our sermon meditation is a gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4. Have you ever tried to catch a monkey? Recently on the news, I heard that there was a truck accident, I think it was in Mississippi, where some monkeys escaped and were on the loose. And they weren't cute, cuddly kind of monkeys. They were some mean and nasty monkeys. Well, I doubt if you've ever had a monkey infestation here in Sweet Springs. But just in case it happens, maybe out on the interstate, here's how you catch a monkey. You put a banana into a box, and you cut a hole in the side of that box, just big enough for the monkey to put its hand in, but too small for the monkey to get its hand out when it has wrapped its fist around the banana. For the monkey does not have the sense to let go of the banana and then take its hand out. It will sit there with its hand in the box, wrapped around that banana, until the monkey is caught. Well, the devil does not appear to us in the proverbial red suit with the horns and the pitchfork. He doesn't come to us and say, "I am the ancient enemy of God and his people. I am here to make your life miserable, a living hell. How about it?" No, we may not be spiritual geniuses, but we still do have some sense. And we are savvy enough not to fall for such a blatant display from the devil. So instead, he deceives us in disguise. He comes to us in subtle and oh so harmless ways. The devil tempts us with what looks good, makes sense, seems fun, and only after we have taken his attractive bait
especially if we refuse to let it go, do we experience the permanent pain that results from our passing pleasure. The only ability that we have to shoo the devil away and to resist his temptation is given to us in our text. For Jesus has won the victory over the devil. Jesus has done so by his perfect life, his own death in our place, and his resurrection from the dead. In the water, in the word of our holy baptism, Jesus says to the devil, "Hands off, devil, this one is mine." By regularly reading God's word, the Holy Bible, and receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ for us in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit gives to us Jesus' victory over the devil's temptations. Perhaps the greatest threat to our Christian faith is the temptation of our material possessions. We are always wanting what is bigger, what is better, what is newer. The devil wants us to determine our personal value based upon all the stuff that we accumulate in this life. The devil delights in our desire to have more things, especially when the more seems to be out of reach or off limits to us. We see that in our Old Testament reading. The devil says to Eve, "Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The devil places into her mind a doubt of God's word. We also experience such a doubt now. Who says that I can't have whatever it is I want, when I want it, and whatever it takes to get it? The fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden was good and pleasing to Eve's eye. So also today are those treasures that tempt us to reject God's will for our lives. Notice how the devil works on Jesus in our text from Matthew 4. "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." The devil wants Jesus to doubt his divinity. "Prove it to yourself, Jesus, by just doing this little miracle." Or another way to look at it, "Since you are the Son of God, do what you want. Use your power for yourself." There are different circumstances between the two temptations of our Old Testament and Gospel readings. In the Old Testament, Adam and Eve had a garden of goodies available to them. In the Gospel reading, Jesus has gone without food for 40 days. Adam and Eve are in God's paradise. Jesus is in a barren wilderness. Like striking out in slow-pitch softball, Adam and Eve gave in to the devil's temptations. Jesus, on the other hand, took Satan's 100-mile-per-hour fastball, and he hit it out of the park. And the bat that he used is the Word of God. We have that same Word of God available to us. It is the Holy Bible. The story of God's goodness to us is more precious than any possession we ever could own. The Bible reveals to us God's love and a life that will be ours long after all of our stuff is broken, out of style, or sold in an auction. Second temptation in our text shows us that the devil even twists and misuses God's word to convince us to disobey God's will. Again, the devil attempts to create doubt. Would his father protect Jesus from certain opposition to Jesus' ministry? Shouldn't Jesus have some definite proof of the Father's love and power before he begins his mission on earth? The devil says to Jesus, "Throw yourself down from the top of the temple." The promise of Psalm 91 is that the angels will catch him. But compare Satan's quote in this text with God's promise in our intro. "For the devil omits to guard you in all your ways." Ways that a child of God will walk are ways of God's holy will. It is the path of obedience. God's will for us is like an umbrella that protects us from getting wet in the rain. But if we step out from under that umbrella, we will get soaked. God's word is like that beware of dog sign that warns us to keep away from the mean mutt. And those who try to pet the pretty puppy end up being called lefty. One of the Holy Spirit's gifts to us through God's word and sacraments is a sanctified common sense, which keeps us from doing that stupid stuff that harms us. Satan, though, tempts us to test God's love for us and God's power over us. We hear the devil say to us, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" And we think the answer is either God does not love us enough to defend us, or that God is not powerful enough to protect us. But this is a false distinction. God's power and love vividly are on display in the greatest injustice, in the baddest thing that ever has occurred upon earth, and that is the death of the innocent Jesus Christ upon the cross. This shows God's love, the God who sacrifices his one and only Son to our death in punishment for the sins that we do. But it also shows the power of God, who raised Jesus from the dead in his universal and eternal victory over sin, death, and the devil for us. The third temptation of Jesus is really a lie, but that's no surprise. In John chapter 8, Jesus calls the devil a liar and the father of lies. This world and its splendor are not the devil's to give to us. But even so, this temptation he uses still is quite real for Jesus. Would Jesus become the world's king by his own way or by his Father's way? Could he obtain a crown without enduring the cross? Satan himself, originally an angel of God, rejected the Father's way of service in order to go his own way of glory. Jesus knows that true kingly glory, however, comes only through service and suffering and sacrifice. But how often do we also succumb to this temptation of the devil, thinking that we could have all of the world's gain without any of its pain? We desire leisure without work. We want pleasure without effort. We seek good news without any bad news. This affects us as a church as well. We want to praise God for his glory and his majesty, but we do not want to hear his call for our commitment and our obedience. We want to hear of God's love, his mercy, and his goodness, but we do not want to respond to it with our repentance and confession. We want to celebrate the joy of Jesus' birth at Christmas and the victory of his resurrection at Easter, but then we want nothing to do with those somber services of sin and suffering on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. But gain only comes through pain. Glory is achieved only through suffering. God's love is that the pain and the suffering for our sin has been shouldered for us by his own Son, Jesus Christ. God's grace is that the pain and the glory of victory over sin, death, and the devil now are ours through faith in his Son, Jesus, as our Savior. Well, each of the devil's temptations in our text are attempts to get Jesus to go in a way other than the one that has been set before him by his Heavenly Father. The devil's way of death is doubt, disobedience, and selfishness. It is the way that Adam and Eve went in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. God's way of life is one through suffering, death, and resurrection. It is the way of forgiveness, life, and salvation. It is the way that Jesus went for us. When the devil tempts us as children of God, he is trying to distract us from the mission that our Heavenly Father gave to us in our holy baptism. That mission is the way of Jesus. His forgiveness of our sins, our new life lived in his name, and the eternal salvation that he has won for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church, remembering those listed for us in our worship folder. We add to that list Emmanuel member Rhonda Meinheiser, as she is recovering from shoulder surgery, and Emmanuel member Ron Baker, as he has been experiencing eye problems. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We stand for the prayer of the church. O Lord, in the midst of this life, we are beset by many temptations. Fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus, who bore temptation for us and resisted to the point of death, and bring us through the evils of this fallen world to dwell with you forever. Bless all those who are reaching out into this darkened world with the light of our Savior Jesus through the mission agencies of our church body. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desire that they turn from evil and live. Give pastors courage to warn of sin and death. Give all Christians strength to defend that message. Turn sinners to life by the proclamation of Christ, who delivers from all unrighteousness. We thank you for the safe travels and productive visit of Pastor and Mrs. Engvall this past week. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide him as he considers Emmanuel's call to be our next under-shepherd of our Good Shepherd Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
Almighty God, preserve all catechumens and their teachers, all children and their parents, and every Christian home from the assaults of the evil one. As your Son overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, so also give us the victory through Christ and his word. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
O Lord, you have established earthly authorities to punish evil and praise those who do good. Grant to our public servants humble hearts to resist the temptations of power and to worship you alone. Protect and defend with your safety all those who work to protect and defend our safety as members of our nation's armed forces, including Drake and McKenna, and all who are law enforcement officers, firefighters, emergency responders, and healthcare workers. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, though we deserve nothing of your kindness, you have shown yourself to be the strength of the weak, the healer of the sick, and the hope of those who mourn. Hear us on behalf of those who are troubled in mind or body, especially remembering Evelyn, Nolan, Rhonda, Ron, Lindsay, Bryce, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Gail, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Charlotte, Kathy, Elliot, Walt, and those whom we name before you in the silence of our hearts. Sustain them through their afflictions and pain, heal them according to your gracious will, and deliver them at the last to everlasting life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, we thank you for your constant care and keeping of us. We thank you for your care of those who may not be able to be with us in worship, but are present among us in our hearts and minds. We continue to place into your hands Janet, Norma, Walter, Millie, Dolores, Carol, and Phyllis, trusting that you will provide for their needs of body and soul. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of all life, you provide for us during the years of our time in this world, but those days come to an end. We pray that you will bless those who are reaching the end of their lives and those who grieve the loss of loved ones to physical death, including Lee's family at this time of his passing. Comfort them with the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life in Christ Jesus our Savior. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, though you gave us stewardship of your good creation, we love the gifts more than we love the giver. Save us from trusting in our own possessions more than in your Son. Teach us to use what you have provided to help those in need, provided us to help those in need and to relieve the poor, the unemployed, and the oppressed.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us a refuge from the world in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Protect us from all evils of body and soul, that we would find rest in this life and eternal rest in your heavenly embrace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. We continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings. We sing as our hymn to depart, hymn 655, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, hymn 655.